Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Big story in sports this week. Pete Rose passing away at age 83, I believe it was. Here to talk about that is a man who competed against Pete Rose and a man who won a lot of games for the Pirates, including Game 7 of the World Series in 1971, the great Steve Blass. Steve, I appreciate you joining me. How are you?
I'm doing good, Joe. Looking forward to the visit. Going to miss Pete Rose. He was one of the best. I mean, he was defiant. He was relentless. But I love the way he played. It was an honor to compete against him.
Steve is on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Steve, obviously the 4,256 hits stand out. But reading some of these stories and looking up more things on Pete Rose, 10 200 hit seasons, and he never struck out more than 76 times in a season. You have guys who do that in a single game nowadays. What was it like trying to attack him as a pitcher? What was the game plan?
Well, I still don't know, Joe. But he had his hits against me. I think he hit through something like 350 off me. You talk about the strikeouts. I struck him out three times in a game, and I told him about that one time. He said, "Yeah, but do you know I went 4-for-4 against you on a Saturday afternoon NBC game of the week?" So he never forgot an at bat. And you know, Joe, they used to talk about little Pete Rose. Maybe he wasn't very tall, but he was packed together. I mean, he was solid, and he was crouched over the plate. He didn't care if he got hit or not; he could take that. But he was like those guys with that short, compact swing if you tried to go inside, you know, the Kirby Puckett, the Tony Gwynn, the Bill Madlocks. So he was very tough to pitch against because he was tight against the plate, so he protected the outside corner. But if you tried to go in, he was quick in there. So, I mean, I did my share. Let me just say it that way of adding up to that 42, 56, whatever it was. But he was great to compete against, and this is a true story, one of the few true ones I tell, Joe. But every time the Reds came into Pittsburgh, I made Karen, my wife, take Dusty and Chris, our little boys, to watch him play. I wanted them to see how the game should be played, and he never quit. It was full throttle all the time. You know, if an organization wonders about what you're going to get from a ball player, they never had to worry about Pete Rose in Cincinnati. He gave him everything he had. He never left anything on the field. And, you know, he also said, by the way, that the decade of the 70s with the Reds being so good as they were and the Pirates being so good, he said that was the best quality baseball he had ever been around, and he knows baseball. You know, regardless of what you think about Pete Rose, he knows the game. He remembers every at bat, and he never gave in to one at bat. I mean, he got his money's worth all the time, and just unbelievably consistent. You know, 17 All-Star games, remarkably consistent as the way he played the game, and I'll be honest with you. I was a big fan of his. I know I had to try to get him out, and I tried, but he was one of the best. And you know, this day and age, everybody asks me about the Hall of Fame. Of course, this day and age, isn't it ironic that gambling controls all our major sports? It's kind of ironic, and I'm not saying in defense of him. But I do want a guy that played the game like he did in the Hall of Fame. He broke the rule that you can't break. There's a poster as you go on to any professional field, the last door you go through before you go on the field, there's a poster that says you can't gamble. And that's from the rookie league up to the major leagues. And he broke that. But I sometimes wonder if he wasn't so defiant, if he softened a little bit, it might have made it easier to get him in. But he did break that rule, and I get it. But maybe posthumously he could get in. If he gets in, I'd be happy. If he doesn't, I would respect that too. But, boy, he's one hell of a player.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Yeah, you mentioned, I was looking at the numbers. It wasn't like he was all Punch and Judy. He had seven straight years of double-digit home runs. Some of his slugging percentages were up near 500. I mean, yeah, he actually hit for power, too, when he wanted. He was an extra base guy, too.
Yeah, he was a gap guy. I mean, all those hits. Yeah, as I said, he wasn't tall, but he was strong. I mean, he was really strong. And he just played the game the way it was supposed to be played. And you had to admire that as an opponent. But he was something. When he played baseball at the major league level, he was never dull to watch. I mean, he was one of those guys like Clemente. You couldn't take your eyes off Clemente. Well, I'm sure in Cincinnati, you couldn't take your eyes off Pete Rose either.
Well, one of the things that he was noted for over the years was running over Ray Fosse, the catcher, in the 72 All-Star game. Just bowled him over. And I wanted to ask you, because you played in at least one of those, I know, in 72. Was that game highly competitive then? Like, did you treat it like a playoff game?
I think we did. I know I did it because, we used to say the National League is better than the American League. There was a pride factor. I don't know if it exists as much as it does. Maybe it's more of an exhibition game these days, but it was serious. I mean, we took it very serious. One quick All-Star game story for me, and I went to one, and I was overjoyed to walk into that clubhouse in 1972 and see the talent. Oh, there's Mays, there's Aaron, there's Bench and Perez. And my locker was right next to Johnny Bench's, and we didn't fraternize back then. You know, we had respect. I said, "Hey, Johnny, how you doing?" He said, "Steve, good." I said, he said, "By the way, I understand you're pitching the third inning." And I said, "Yeah, because the games are structured." He said, "I'm catching then. What signs do you want to use? You know, like one's a fastball, two's a curve." And I said, "Johnny, whenever I face you, you seem to know what's coming, so why don't we just wing it?"
That's great.
So we had a good laugh, but there was good respect there. And it was stunning to walk into that clubhouse. I'll never forget it. And we won that game, and if I'm not mistaken, and I'm not in this category, Hank Aaron hit a home run in that game as part of, a 4-3 win. I went an inning. I gave up a run and happy to get out of there because I faced some pretty good action, too, on the other side from the American League. But, yeah, it was serious back then. We took a lot of pride in it. And, how about the rules now, Joe, when you can't roll over a catcher? And I just remember, maybe you do, too, back in the day, you tried to jar the and there was this visual image I can still remember of a catcher coming out of the dirt after a collision, holding the ball straight up so the umpire could say he didn't lose it. But that's an image we grew up with. Can't do that. Got to give him a lane, as George Carlin said in this comedy thing. You got to get home safe. Safe. You get to home, it's safe. Well, it didn't used to be safe when we were growing up.
No, it's one of the things that used to be better. I know your time is short, Steve. I have one more question for you. Between your playing days, your broadcasting career, and everything else, you've seen, I think, probably more baseball than any person I know. Paul Skeens, where does he rank among the greatest rookie pitchers, young pitchers you've ever laid eyes on?
Well, the operative word, Joe, is rookie. I've not seen anything like a rookie do what he did. And you can't pass judgment, obviously, because he's got to do it for a long time. But he's got a chance to be a generational pitcher. I had a chance to meet him, and I said, "I never go to your games at the ballpark, Paul." He said, "You don't?" I said, "Yeah, I want to watch it on TV so I can see the camera in back of you and see where your pitchers are doing, because I'm fascinated. He's not just a power guy. He's got the whole package. So if they're sitting on his fastball, he can go to other directions." And one of the things that impressed me most, I heard him in an interview, and he said that a lot of what he's going to throw for his next pitch is based on the previous pitch and how the batter reacted. That's good stuff from a 22-year-old, I'll tell you that. And I did do this, and I took it in a row. I'm not bragging, but I took an 8x10 picture of the last out of the 71 World Series. And I gave it to him, and it was inscribed, "Paul, I hope you have a day like this." And he took it at the right sense. You know, I wasn't trying to brag to him, but I said, "I hope you have a day like this, because I want him to have a bunch of days like that if he can." And he's got the stuff. But bottom line, I've never seen anything like him as a rookie.
Steve, we appreciate the time. That is great stuff. Have a great day, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
Well, I look forward to it, Joe. Always nice to visit with you. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.